Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope you guys are enjoying your MLK day, whether home or at work. Our office is completely empty.
There are four of us here in the building. Three of us and the boss man. That's it.
My brother-in-law was like, could you record the show and just play it like it's live? And I said, yeah, conceivably, yes,
sure.
We could, but we'd miss the breaking news if it came out.
Yeah, Blazers trade Hassan Whiteside in the middle of the show and we don't react
don't
to it
talk
or something.
About it at all.
Yeah, that wouldn't turn out too well.
We're back with more. Who knows what we're going to find out tomorrow on The Fan. All right, we got a lot more to get to. Let's get going with the NFL whip around.
Frozen Tundra.
All right, let's start in Kansas City because that's where we just ended. By the way, Swag, shout out to the Cowboys. The Niners were 4-12 last year. Now in the Super Bowl, the Cowboys, it's got to hurt. It's got to hurt. But let's start in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, man, what a magician.
Williams, the running back. Shades behind. Schwartz at right tackle. Three-man rush. Now throw left side. Caught. Tyreek Hill. Touchdown. Kansas City, the second of the game for the Cheetah. This one a 20-yard bullet on a quick seam down the left side, burning Logan Ryan. Three-man rush again by Tennessee. Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
18 seconds. They will count it down here at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs' kingdom, hoping, their dreams have come true. Hail to the king of the Chiefs' kingdom forever. Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy in the stadium that was Lamar Hunt's dream. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54.
An awesome moment in Arrowhead. Everybody going crazy. Travis Kelce randomly going, I learned that you gotta fight for your right to party. It's like, okay.
I think they play that song in the stadium. It's one of those things
that
like
they
a
do?
Recurring thing for Chiefs fans. Like that is, look, whenever you get a longtime drought that is eliminated, it's so cool, man.
Yes.
I love it.
To finally break through.
It hasn't been 50 years. Yep. It's been forever.
They've come so close. They had years where they thought they were going to do it, and they couldn't do it.
So many times. So many good teams over the years. They couldn't get over the hump, including last year where you're off. If D Ford lines up on sides, you're going to the Super Bowl and playing the Rams. Doesn't happen for them. They come back. They fight all the way back. And, you know, I said it towards the end of the year and going into the AFC playoffs. Kansas City was my easy pick to win the AFC once the playoffs started. I think we all probably picked them at the start of the year. They were just forgotten about a little bit this year. Lamar Jackson burst onto the scene the way that he did. He garnered all the attention. Baltimore couldn't be stopped at the end of the season. And everybody kind of lasered in on them being the team to beat in this I think we just kind of slept on Kansas City. Like, Mahomes is still there. He's still the best player in the league. Yep. And as Chiefs fans are adamantly pointing out at the text line, yes, they got better defensively as the year went on. Like, they were much better at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think we just forgot about Kansas. Not forgot isn't the right word. I think people were sleeping on this team a little bit, and they just reminded everybody, that's right, they're the Chiefs.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I think you're right on that, though, because I remember when we talked about the seeding, when we finally found out who was the one seed, who was the wild cards, all that. I remember we did the show, and we quite... I think we actually said, you know, notice nobody's talking about Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs. Like, it's all Patriots. Can they still do it? It was all
Baltimore.
Ravens are going to get through. Nobody talked about Tennessee. They got the title game. And nobody really talked about Kansas City quite like they probably should have because of how great Patrick Mahomes is. By the way, that was 101 FM in Kansas City, the Chiefs radio flagship station on a call there. The Chiefs punched their ticket, win the AFC Championship game. I'm glad you brought that up. I just want to point this out. People can disagree with me because they're Chiefs fans. I just want to point out because everybody's like, go look at week 10. Their defense got improved.
That was the Tennessee game.
That was the Tennessee game.
And
so starting in week 10, they got torched for 180 on the ground. But they beat the Chargers, Raiders, Patriots, Broncos, Bears, and Chargers. There's one playoff team in that run.
Yeah, and the Patriots had an anemic offense.
Again, I think you're just taking what I'm saying, that I think San Francisco is a better overall team for the year, as like... it means the Niners are going to win. The Niners could win the Super Bowl, or they could lose. I'm speaking more to, I think Patrick Mahomes is just so damn special.
Yeah, he makes up the gap that there could be
talent-wise
on the roster.
Yes, I do think he makes
up
a big chunk of whatever that gap is between these two teams.
Well, I think the two things quickly on Kansas City. One, the part of that game, honestly, that I thought impressed me the most for them was when they gave Tennessee a taste of their own medicine. Because they were. I mean, I was texting with people in the first half. It's amazing to watch Kansas City. Like, I get that it's pass happy in the league now, and that's kind of the trend in football. There's chunks of games where they don't even try and run the ball. Like, there's not even an attempt. Like, it's just Mahomes, you're the best in the league.
Go throw it 40
times.
We're
going to hike it to you, and you just go make something happen. Like, that's why I love watching them. But as the game kind of went on, they got stopped on, remember, they got the ball to start the second half. And I can't remember if it was 3 and out or if they got a first down and they punted. But that was like a big momentum swing for Tennessee because Kansas City scored to go into the locker room to take the lead. You thought, oh, they're going to come out and score right at the start of the second half, and it's going to be 28-17 just like that. But Tennessee got a stop. The Chiefs' defense also followed up with a stop. And then Kansas City's offense went on a drive that was like Tennessee or San Francisco-esque. They ate 7 minutes off the clock. Tennessee backed up. They said, we're not going to let you beat us deep. And they ran the ball right down their throat. And that's one of those things that you have to respect the speed that they have on the outside, the weapons that they have on the outside.
Yes,
and that's
they
why they're so tough to stop is, all right, you want to back that far off? You want to give us a friendly box to run the football? Here it is. And they ate 7 minutes off the clock. Tennessee, I think, only had one drive or a drive and a half in the third quarter. They didn't let them have the football. And just like that, it was 28-17.
Chris Jones being active and playing was a huge help for them in the middle. And Frank Clark came up big with some great plays. And let me just say this. I am incredibly happy. 50 years that city has waited.
50 years,
that's
man.
One of the best fan bases in the league, one of the most loyal fan bases. They show up every single week. 50 years is too long for a franchise that great. Congratulations to Chiefs fans and the Chiefs for getting to the Super Bowl. Let's continue with the whip round and let's go to the other end. Their opponent, San Francisco. Boy, they beat up on Green Bay.
Garoppolo under center from Green Bay's 23-yard line. Juszczyk at a true eye. They're going to run it again. Wide stretch run to Mostert. Gets the edge. Left cuts back inside. Raheem Mostert has 4 rushing touchdowns and the most yards rushing in a playoff game in 49er history. Oh, by the way, touchdown San Francisco!
Feels great, baby!
What a game for Raheem Mostert as he passes Colin Kaepernick. He now has 196 yards rushing and 4 rushing touchdowns. Green Bay has the ball on their 38-yard line and they're down 17 points. They need the miracle of miracles. Of course, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest Hail Mary thrower in the history of football. And they're almost to midfield where he could start doing that. Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. Feel super, baby!
Feels great,
baby! 5-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami.
Let's get
where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Let's start filling up that other hand.
Yeah, KMBR on the call, the Niners flagship down in the Bay. The last time the Niners did play a Super Bowl in Miami, they pummeled the Chargers 49-26. Not that the end result is going to be the same. I find it it's very interesting to be AFC West again in Miami.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's all happening again, man. I was watching that game. I didn't have much faith that Green Bay could keep it close. I love the Niners to cover. Not enough. I should have taken a minus to 7.5. I bought it down to 6.5 when I gambled on it. But you just got this. I mean, Green Bay had a chance. They got a 3-and-out to open the game. Niners ran the ball 3 times and they punted. Like, that's as good as a start as you could ask for. Green Bay gets it. They get it to about. They picked up a couple of first downs, got it to midfield, and then once that stop happened and they didn't go for it on 4th and 1, kicked it right back. San Francisco started running it down their throat. Like, just in the first 10 minutes of the game, you got the sense of like, oh God, this sucks. This is going to be boring. And all afternoon, I was watching that game thinking to myself, why didn't Seattle show up in the first half? Because I think Seattle-San Francisco would have been a much better matchup. Russell Wilson running around against that defense would have been a more compelling game. 27-0 at the half in an NFC title game is a joke, man. That was ugly.
You know, that was tough for me because I had somebody I was watching the game with say that. And my thing is, I think sometimes at a team stadium, nobody's beating them. And yesterday was that day, I think, for both those two teams. I think yesterday in Kansas City.
Oh, I'm not saying Seattle wins. I'm just saying it would have been a more compelling game. Maybe 27-0 at the half.
It might have been, but I just don't think you were beating the Chiefs and the Niners yesterday. I think they both asserted themselves the two best teams in those conferences, and opponent be damned, did not matter. Get out of the way. They had destiny to fulfill, and now they're going to meet Miami.
It's the Joe Montana Super Bowl officially.
It is the Joe Montana Super Bowl.
He sent out a tweet today with a picture of each uniform saying, my team's going to win in 2 weeks. I kind of chuckled at that. It's like, nice dad joke there, Joe. The guy too,
How close do you think the Chiefs are for him to root for? It can't be that close,
it's got to
right?
be San Francisco. He won 4 titles in San Francisco.
It's easily got to be San Francisco.
Yeah, he's known as a 49er. The guy, too, that I just continued to love watching and continues to come on late in the year. Deebo Samuel is one of my favorite players to watch, man. His ability to block in the run game down the field, they use him in so many different ways. He had 2 catches, 46 yards, which in their dynamic passing attack was their leading receiver yesterday. But also the way they toss it to him on fly sweeps and stuff, man, he's just kind of that jack-of-all-trades trick that they can use. And he's a big physical guy, man. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, there's so many incredibly talented skill position players in this game. I think we got the best Super Bowl. I can't wait. I cannot wait to watch this matchup. It just, again, sucks that we got to wait another week. All right, there's the NFL Whip Around. We do it every Monday at 1. I guess next Monday is going to kind of suck because it might be Pro Bowl highlights and nobody's going to watch the Pro Bowl. So there you go. All right. Coming up next, I want to read some thoughts at the fan text line 55305. But just what do you think about the matchup? Do you like the Chiefs? Do you like the Niners? Why? We'll talk about that. We got Aaron Rodgers to get into. And oh, by the way, the Blazers made a trade that
they did
actually isn't really all that valuable outside of saving some money. So we'll talk about that as well. A lot more to get to next on The Fan. All right, Blazers made a trade. Was it underrated or merely a money move? We'll talk about that coming up. Take a break from the NFL and then dive back into that one a little bit later on. I was reading a piece on Andy Reid. You know, everybody in Kansas City. I've never read a negative piece on Andy Reid.
No, I can't think of anything negative on Andy Reid.
Can you think of players that didn't like him?
No,
I can't think of
really.
That either.
Maybe some disgruntled because they didn't play enough, but nobody's ever anything to say bad about him.
Yeah, just it was a really good read about how everybody on the Chiefs, this is for him. They're all locked in, and obviously they want to win one for themselves, but they've come to understand who he is, kind of what his life journey has been about, and he's one of those guys that they don't like to call him a player's coach. They just like to say that he's somebody who helps men become men and wants to win a championship.
Yeah, yeah.
And it relates really well and sticks with players. I think any other opponent, I would absolutely want Andy Reid to win the Super Bowl. And even if he beats the Niners, I'm actually be really happy because Andy Reid was one of my favorite parts about the weekend. I'm a huge Andy Reid guy. I think I've made that abundantly clear over the last few years, but he's one of those coaches that I would like to just see have one championship. And you think with that quarterback, it's bound to happen. But again, you always think about the Dolphins in the 80s. We always thought Marino was going to get back, and he never did.
You just assumed that it was going to happen. Nothing's ever guaranteed. You think about a guy who came into this weekend 1-5 in conference title games, of course, losing last year and coming so close. The difficult start in big games when he first got to Kansas City. I mean, you go back, they blew a 38-10 lead to the Colts. They lost to Pittsburgh. They blew a 21-3 halftime lead to Marcus Mariota and the Titans back in 2017. I mean, they had a lot of rough bumps over the handful of years when he first got there as a head coach. And then last year, finally getting the AFC title, heartbreak ensued. Now they're over that hump and getting the Super Bowl. He's another one of those guys, too, in terms of just kind of expecting a career to take off or imagining what the future is going to hold. If you told me in 2004 that Andy Reid wasn't going to get back to a Super Bowl until 2020, I wouldn't have believed you. Like, I know that they lost all those NFC title games. They finally broke through, and they lost New England when he was in Philly. But I wouldn't have believed that it was going to take 16 years to get back to another Super Bowl for him. The guy, in my opinion, should be a Hall of Famer, but some tend to think that you need the one ring. Mm-hmm. He's top 8 all-time or top 7 all-time, something like that, in wins. There's only 8 coaches in the history of the league with 200 wins. He's one of them. This is the only thing that's missing from one of the best legacies we've ever seen from a head coach is a Lombardi trophy.
I think one trophy changes how we view him all time when he hangs him up.
Whether it's fair or not, I do. I think it completely changes it because he's not going to retire, I don't think, in the next couple of years. He's got the best quarterback, the best player in the NFL, leading an offense. He's a play-calling and offensive genius with Patrick Mahomes to work with.
Yeah.
It's a match made in heaven. So he's going to keep racking up wins. Who knows how many rings. You never know what the future is going to hold, but they're going to be a damn good football team for years to come. I don't see him going anywhere. And if he keeps racking up wins, it changes the conversation around him.
All right. I've given my thoughts pretty clearly. What are your thoughts on the matchup?
Well, I think it's fun because we've seen so many times the matchup of a dominant offense against a dominant defense. And more often than not over the history of football, the dominant defense wins. But we just saw in the national championship game, the offense dominated the defense. Clemson had the number one defense in the country. They had slowed down Fields in Ohio State, and everybody thought that's how they're going to win. That's why a lot of people like Clemson's chances to win. And Joe Burrow and that offense was just simply too much, and they couldn't keep up with all the skill players and the schemes. I think that's why this matchup is so fun. I'm leaning San Francisco. I placed a bet last night just on them on the money line because of the fact that they can run the football, and I don't, despite last week, overwhelmingly trust Kansas City to stop the run. I know their defense was different down the stretch, but it was again, Chargers and Bears and Broncos. Not juggernaut teams, right? Not juggernaut teams. So I don't necessarily buy in that they're just going to shut down San Francisco's rushing attack. I do think they could slow it down a little bit. I don't see the Niners running all over them the way they did Green Bay and the way they did Minnesota. But I trust that defense and I trust that front to just do enough. You're not going to take away Patrick Mahomes and hold him to 14 points or shut him out in a half. Like I don't see that coming. Mahomes is too damn good.
New England did it last year.
They did, and then they ended up scoring 35 in the second half or whatever it was going into overtime. But I think they have enough to just confuse him, to blitz him, to pressure him, to take away the run when Kansas City wants to run. And I've learned my lesson over the years. I know I just told you one that didn't go the way of an offense beating a defense, but more often than not, the best defense beats the best offense, and that's where my gambling money is going to be on the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the similarity there, though, of using college NFL, even though it's so drastically different, I think the similarity would be Clemson played in a conference where there was nobody good.
Right, their numbers were inflated defensively.
And look, Kansas City, it's not their fault, but their division sucks.
Yeah.
The Chargers are a joke. The Raiders can't stop tripping on themselves, and the Broncos are in the middle of a rebuild back up. So, it's nice to largely benefit from playing in that division. I don't think that should take anything away from their chances to win or not being the favorite. I wonder how much that potentially plays a factor in this, because who was more battle-tested in that college game? Didn't matter if it was offense or defense to me.
It was LSU.
Who was battle tested?
They had to play Alabama. Right? They had to play Auburn. They had to play Florida. You had to play a tough SEC title game. Texas.
Andy Reid would tell you directly himself how hard it is to even get to this point. He hasn't done it since 2004. It's a 16-year gap. They did play a 9-7 team. Yeah, Derrick Henry is a great story. But I tell you right now, if the Titans would have won that game, I'd be coming in right now today and telling you to lay the mortgage on the Niners to win that game outright. They would blow the Titans out in that matchup.
Just like Kansas City.
Just like Kansas City started slow. They found their footing and they were able to do that. So this is how much respect I have for Patrick Mahomes. I think if it wasn't Patrick Mahomes quarterbacking, name almost any other quarterback, even Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't think Kansas City is going to win the Super Bowl. But Patrick Mahomes garners that kind of respect. Andy Reid garners that kind of respect because they can game plan so well. But what you're saying, I mean, largely over NFL life.
Yeah, when you get the these Niners matchups, the defense wins.
And whoever the team is, doesn't matter. But whatever the team is that has the benefit of being better defensively and a better running game, traditionally in this league, works. Now, here's what I wonder the most. League has evolved so much in 3 or 4 years. That is this the first Super Bowl where that doesn't matter as much anymore?
Yeah, Mahomes is just too much.
Yeah, an amazing quarterback overcomes some of those things that you lack in, and we walk away, Kansas City's hoisting the Lombardi, and we talk on Monday after they win, and we go, is this the way the game's going to be now? Where if you have that transcendent great quarterback at the right age.
With the right coaching staff, by the way,
with the right coaching staff, you know, all that. It overcomes those because in years past, even with great coaching staff, they couldn't overcome it.
Yeah, I think if no matter who wins, you all of a sudden jump into that conversation of what does the future hold for the organization? And if Mahomes is able to beat this defense, one of the best we've seen in a number of years in the NFL in the Super Bowl, I think that's going to open a can of worms of, God, how many is this guy going to rack up? He's only in his second year as a starter in the league. The future is incredibly bright. They're not going anywhere. Andy Reid is a great head coach. The things that, and just to circle back kind of from where we started, the things that would leave me concerned for San Francisco and that I'm most concerned about from my bet, it's not necessarily their ability that we saw last week to stop the run, because I still think San Francisco is going to get theirs on the ground. There's two things that concern me. One is the way their offensive line played against Tennessee. Now, again, San Francisco's front's a different animal than Tennessee's, but Tennessee's front was giving people troubles. They were breathing down Lamar Jackson's neck. They were all over him. They shut down the run. Like, Tennessee had a good front, and Kansas City's offensive line completely neutralize them. And so that would leave me a little confident of, if you can stand that test, again, tougher against San Francisco, but that was damn impressive. The other matchup that I really like for Kansas City, it's going to come down to the offensive line, though, is their ability to capitalize on San Francisco's secondary that isn't Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
That is the one matchup that I think if they can give him time to throw and you have those guys going downfield, because you have to take something away with Kansas City's offense. And I'm already forgetting the name, but the guy we had on from Kansas City pointing out that they doubled Tyreek Hill and they doubled Kelsey on that final touchdown. And who was it? It was Sammy Watkins left in man-to-man coverage against like a nickel corner.
Sammy Watkins has been nice the last few.
He had like seven catches for 100 something yards. Yeah. Like he had a dominant game yesterday. And they have a lot of guys that can beat you. And I don't trust San Francisco's secondary outside of Richard Sherman, who's going to be on his side of the field, locking down his side of the field. But if they're able to give him time to throw and capitalize on the question mark of San Francisco's defense, which is the rest of the secondary, that's where Kansas City can make some money.
I think untraditional calls, too, from time to time against a team like the Niners can really hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, if it's second, let's say it's second and 10, incomplete pass or stuffed on a run. Second and 10 against Kansas City, in your mind, you're probably thinking what? Pass.
He's going to throw the ball.
Delay handoff. You know, stuff like that, little things that are small in the moment.
Yeah.
Those are things that add up and they actually end up helping you tremendously. I'm wondering the game plan for this game for both sides, Kansas City and what they're going to do with Spagnuolo defensively, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Kyle Shanahan in that run game, and then Robert Saleh in that defense.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man.
All four coaches, it's going to be quite a two-week buildup because they have a lot of film to break down to try to expose one another.
Well, I think the key for Kansas City, too, we got 2 weeks to talk about this, but they can't dig themselves another hole. It's one thing to do it against Bill O'Brien and the Texans to be down 24-0, shooting yourself in the foot. It's one thing to give up scores on Tennessee's first three drives, be down 10-0, and then 17-7. It's a whole different animal with San Francisco because of their defense and their ability to run the football. And I don't know what it is about starts defensively, off. I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on it. Some teams just start slow and others don't. You can't dig yourself a 17-point, a 10-point hole, I think, in the first half, because then San Francisco's pass rush is going to know that you're throwing the ball on every down, and they're just going to pin their ears back and get after you.
Yeah, so we got quite a build-up to this game. We'll jump into it in the final hour a little more coming up. But up next, we'll dive into some basketball. The Blazers made a trade that I'm not sure excites anybody outside of Jody Allen and her pocketbook. And then maybe a little college hoops, and we got some more NFL to get to as well, including one former player calling out Richard Sherman. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to get to, and we'll do it next.
I come home on Friday. I had to tell the landlady I done lost my job.
Well, I'm pleased to announce Then my new water heater is officially in, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, there you go. Happy birthday, big guy.
That,
it's done just like that?
Apparently, it's all done. They just called me, the fine folks. Shout out to George Moreland Plumbing. Do you know what they are?
The water heater.
That was one of those times yesterday. I sent out a tweet because I was like, oh, God, my garage is going to flood. This is going to suck. I'm like panicking.
You're in panic mode,
right?
Man.
And so I sent out a tweet not really thinking about it of, hey, folks, where should I go for a new water heater? And immediately people started responding, well, there is a jingle out there. And it's the power of the jingle, man. Like I said, we all know George Moreland, the water heater king, right? So that's my afternoon. That thing's officially in.
How long does it take? Like,
He apparently got there. He called me. I missed his call initially because we were on the air. He got there at like 12:30, so it took about an hour.
Like, dumb question. So like instantly right now, your fiance could go home and take a hot shower.
Hot shower's ready to rock and roll. I think to my reading, and there's going to be a lot of folks who know more about this stuff than me. They basically, you have to drain it. So you like attach a hose, you drain out all the water, and then you detach.
And then attach.
And put the new one in.
Mm.
So there you go. New water heater's in. Happy Monday, everybody. There was some breaking news over the weekend that kind of, I don't know if this was left field, but.
I missed this live. I had to catch up. I saw everybody giving their thoughts. I'm like, what a trade.
What is this trade?
I don't know about this trade. I'm like, what's the damn trade?
It was a weird one, too, because it was initially reported just as the Blazers are trading Kent Bazemore. And you're like, wait, who? What? Like, who are they? Like, what are they getting? What's happening? So a trade went down. Portland sent Kent Bazemore. What a great Blazer career he had. Anthony Tolliver will always have the Tolliver game.
Hey, he had 16 in the fourth once. Never forget.
It cost me money. And two future second-round picks to the Sacramento Kings. In return, they got Trevor Ariza, Wenyen Gabriel, and the one and only Caleb Swanigan.
Mm.
Now, the main nuts and bolts of this that you need to know are they are saving this year $12.5 million in salary. That was the main reasoning for the trade. And more importantly to Jody Allen, their luxury tax bill is going to drop by $7 million in this deal. So they're saving 12.5 in salary. They're saving $7 million in the luxury tax bill. But Trevor Ariza, Wenyen Gabriel, big fan of Wenyen, and Caleb Swanigan, all Blazers. What is the delayed reaction to the move?
I mean, it's nothing more to me than a money saver. I think any other analysis of that is you're stretching and you're lying to people. If anybody in this trade substantially helps them, substantially, it's merely just happenstance and not Neil O'Shea going, I knew it all along. If Neil O'Shea does an interview and Trevor Ariza is on a streak of shooting 40% from three and averaging like 14 and he takes credit, I'm going to lose my mind. He is only making this trade to save Jody Allen a couple bucks.
Yeah, that's all it was.
And he's bringing in a guy that he thinks can actually help versus a guy that I don't really know what the reason. Maybe stylistically with CJ and Dame, it was tougher for Bazemore to feel a part or get into flow of their offense. And so he turned into just like simply a catch and shoot guy, and he struggled. He never got his shot together. He helped him defensively here and there, but I think largely that was somewhat exaggerated. You bring in Ariza and you just hope that Trevor Ariza is going to come in and start shooting at least a 36% clip from three and give you some more production offensively. Outside of that, this trade does nothing for me. It's a cash saving move.
Yeah.
You gave 2 second round picks
to save $12 million.
I know second rounds are hard to hit on and whatnot, but I'm going to wait a little longer for their next move because I do think a next move is coming. But using Tolliver and Bazemore as your expirings to do that, it's nothing more than money saving.
Yeah, this, like anybody trying to break it down from a basketball standpoint, you're kind of losing me there. Like Ariza is 34 years old, turning 35 at the end of this season.
That trade with Kelly Oubre last year was one of the dumber ones that Washington made. Kelly Oubre is flourishing in Phoenix.
That was awful. And this year in Sacramento, he's played 32 games. He's averaging a little over 20 minutes. He's scoring 6 points, right? I mean, he's not the defender that he used to be.
What's Bazemore averaging? 6 points? Right. I mean, is it really that different?
It's a wash, and he's only a little bit older. Maybe he's a better shooter because Bazemore has just been just atrocious from the field this year. So I don't know. From a basketball standpoint, I don't think it really helps you that much. It does give you at least two more big bodies when you don't really have any big bodies because Scal's down, Zach's down, Nurk's down. You're running out. You know, Powell retired. So Wenyen Gabriel played at Kentucky. He's been in the G League for most of the season, up and down, back and forth. Apparently, he's had a good run in the G League. So I'm assuming he's going to come in and get some run as a young big guy. Maybe you see
Let
what you
play.
Got there. Absolutely. Caleb Swanigan, we all know the story with him after trading him a couple of years back for Scalabissier or last year, whatever it was. But this was all about saving money. The only thing that I thought of it, like, if you're going to go this route and save, like, and I get it from Jody Allen's perspective, like, she should want to save money on this. Why are you paying that big of a luxury tax bill for a team that sucks and is almost 10 games below 500? Why would anybody want to pay that? So I totally understand her theory here. And second round picks aren't, I mean, those aren't big bargaining chips anyways. My thing, though, is, like, if you're going to go this route and just kind of wave the white flag and save some money, can we go all in then? Like, are we going to start making moves like this and then continue to act like, well, Trevor Ariza is going to come in and help us make the playoffs?
Well, Trevor Ariza in 2013 would have been great to have, not Trevor Ariza in 2020.
No.
This isn't the white flag to them, though. I think we need to always remind ourselves, as long as Damian Lillard is healthy enough to play, there isn't a white flag. It's they suck and they're not that good. What can they do to slightly improve? And to Neil Olshey, while this was a money-saving move, I guarantee you he thinks that this isn't a white flag, that he's not ready to say that this is a white flag. We had a listener that, who did they play Friday or Saturday?
Dallas. They played Dallas and Oklahoma City.
It was Dallas OKC. It was during the Dallas game. They were up. They had a great start. They were playing good basketball. I watched that whole game. They were playing good basketball. And one of our listeners tweeted me and said, I think you and Dirt are off. This team's starting to feel a little different. And that listener's buying in. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then the Blazers went on to blow that lead and then lose the game. And then they lose to OKC. My thing is, I can't get invested in this team because I can't take one game or a three-game sample size of them playing slightly better and say, well, here it is. This is not their year. It hasn't been their year, and it continues to not be their year. They can't be consistent enough to be a legit winner in the West. I don't think an Ariza move is going to change that. And so while I understand why you, and I think many other Blazer fans, are thinking, let's wave the white flag here and help ourselves, they're not going to do that. And I don't think this move, even though it only helps them financially more than it does on the court, I don't think this move is indicating that either. They're going to continue to trot those guys out there. And when CJ comes back from his tweaked left ankle, guess what? He's going to come back and he's going to play a full 35 minutes a game. That's just what they believe in here, man. It's better for them to have the 8 seed in the West and get swept than it is to have a 9 through 14 pick in the draft, because in their minds, they're establishing and continuing a culture of winning. You can say what you want about the season, but if they make the 8 seed, you know what they're going to harp on? How they didn't give up last year and how all they do in Portland is fight, and they fight until they break through. And that's going to resonate with a lot of people, and I understand it. But that's kind of their mentality. That's their thinking.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. When you're making trades to just save money, I get it. They should be making trades to save money because they had, I believe, until this move, I think they had the highest salary,
number one
salary team in the NBA.
The payroll, so.
Number one payroll in the league. So that should put things in perspective. One quick note, by the way, and I'm going to hopefully get this correct. So they bring in Trevor Ariza. Now, he has a non-guaranteed deal for next year. He's on the hook for, what was it, like $2 million or something?
I think the number I saw was they owe him $1.8 million.
If they get him out by a certain date.
I think
right?
They have to decide by June 30th.
Which happens, yeah. I believe, to be his birthday. Okay, so that's because I looked up the contract initially and I saw that he was on the hook for like $12 or $13 million next year, but it didn't have the nuance of a non-guaranteed deal and you can buy him out in the middle of the summer after the season. So that, again, because a lot of people were wondering, you know, you bringing this in and he's going to be part of the team. Like, he's not a part of the team. They're going to buy him out likely and try and use something with that salary cap. Unless there's another move that comes with the Whiteside deal where you're bringing in a big contract. That is still to be determined, but we're a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline. So Portland makes a move over the weekend, sending out Kent Bazemore and Anthony Tolliver and some draft picks, basically for Trevor Ariza, Caleb Swanigan, and Wenyen. I got to take a while to get used to that. Wenyen Gabriel is now a Portland Trailblazer.
Isn't it weird at all to Caleb to get traded and then be traded right back a year later?
A little weird. A little weird.
Well, do you think we're going to have a good move on the next move that they make?
What do you make of this one? 5-5-3-0-5.
Really hold on to Whiteside all year.
Oh, God. Is the fan text line. They
might have to.
They might have to because I don't know if anybody wants him. They lost both games over the weekend. Portland did to Dallas and Oklahoma City. They're back in town tonight. We'll read a couple thoughts on this move, some final thoughts on it. Also, a pretty good Well, I guess depending on who you're a fan of, a good and bad weekend of college hoops. We'll get into that as well. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Feels great, baby.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Jimmy. Is that their new saying? Is that like the team slogan now?
Feels great, baby.
Feels great, baby.
No, but did you see Kittle's t-shirt?
I did. Was it like a naked Jimmy G or a shirtless Jimmy G?
It was shirtless Jimmy G.
Okay.
And he said he was waiting for the right time to bust it out. He even had Jimmy G sign it to him, like to George.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Kittle and Kelce are going to be a very fun Super Bowl tight end duo we've got going on.
I just am hoping that when they retire, they can join a tag team WWE.
That, I would be all in on that.
Dude,
one.
They are wrestlers.
Kittle and
through.
Kelce.
Like, he's yelling, "You gotta fight!" Kittle's grabbing them. I mean, they're just awesome, man. They know how to get the crowd fired up. Both tremendous tight ends. A fun note over the next 2 weeks. We'll get to some other stuff. We'll get back in a couple football notes, by the way, in the final hour. We have cornerbacks beefing.
Yes, we
beefing,
do.
Beefing DBs. And also, how about Rob Lowe yesterday? Did you guys spot Rob Lowe?
You mean the nondescript NFL merch?
He's a fan
absolutely.
Of the league. Man. He's a fan of the league. So we'll talk about
I always love when they that's not the first time they've done that. They bring the actor in of the new big show.
You got to show him.
And they have to place him in the audience somewhere randomly and go, "Don't forget Rob Lowe." And Rob Lowe has to sit there for like an hour before he can leave and go have a cocktail.
Can I go home now, please? We were talking about the Blazer trade over the weekend, though. And let me see here. Somebody said, why not? This is the fan text line 55305. Why not look at the trade as a stepping stone, create more salary room for a bigger name in trade acquisition?
What's the bigger name that people want? There's not an agreement there. We can't agree on anything. LaMarcus, no. Kevin Love, no. Blake Griffin, no. Maybe Danilo, but do you
No, you're not doing that. He's on an expiring deal. You're not making that trade. That would be incredibly stupid.
Well, they made that deal for Nurk when they were kind of in a similar situation, and it got them right out of their rut.
Yeah, but Danilo is not re-signing here, so you're basically swapping an expiring deal for an expiring deal, hoping that it just gives you a little more points to get an 8 seed. Like, that does not move the needle.
Sometimes there's not a happy ending. And that's why I said in the last segment, like, I'll wait to see what their next move potentially is, but my opinion on this move today, without any insight and info on a potentially future move,
give me your sources,
is that you just cut money. It's about saving money for an owner who we don't even know she's mad. She probably understands that injuries have been a big part of the season.
Sure.
But yeah, she wants to save money.
She's like, why am I paying for this? Quick take right now as we're, what are we, 2-3 weeks out from the trade deadline, right? And like the second week of February or something like that.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks out right now, your take as of today, do they trade Hassan Whiteside?
I just think you have to. Are we really going to lose the asset for nothing? Because that's where you're headed. I think you have to. I don't know what that move is. It doesn't even have to be a big for me. I just go get the best possible deal you can make.
Here's the question, though,
and
too,
figure the rest out.
For those in the continue to compete camp, if you don't trade him for a center, who's your starting center?
Caleb Swanigan or Wenyel Gabriel? It's kind of what you're into right now.
I think he'll try. I just don't know how much market there is. I mean,
you got to find a team that's looking to get out of a bloated contract. But that's the only way that it makes sense.
But
the problem with that is there clearly wasn't a market for Bazemore. He's got a bloated contract that expires, and you had to give 2 second-round picks to attach to that with another player to get 35-year-old Trevor Ariza.
And his what's Whiteside's? I mean, because you got to be within, what, 10%?
10% of that number, yeah.
What was it, 21, 22?
And a team can trade. If the team has salary cap space, they can absorb it for a lesser deal.
Yeah, they can eat it, but
Hassan Whiteside's official deal is, let me pull this up so I have it in front of me, he's making $27 million this year. So you're trying to unload a $27 million deal.
I just don't know where the deal. I mean, OKC says they're open to trading everybody except Gilgeous Alexander. But they keep winning. They're in the playoffs.
Right.
They're probably asking for a higher price, right? Covington reportedly.
In Minnesota.
They're asking for a higher price for him now. So some of the moves you may want to make might not be available to you. And I think that, again, goes back to the point of SiriusXM or Adrian Wojnarowski types of the NBA continuing to say, my read is that Portland's not going to make a move. That's coming from Neil. He's sending that to his media types so he can let people know there ain't a market here. So instead of saying there's not a market for guys that I thought would have a market, he's coming out and saying, I think we're going to sit pat instead of just going, there's not a market for Hassan Whiteside like I thought there was. Kent Bazemore's market kind of sucks.
Yeah, if that was the deal you can get for Bazemore. I mean, Whiteside's having a productive season, at least. So in his defense, he's actually contributed this year, as Kent Bazemore, I think, shot like 30% from the floor and just was awful. A couple of defensive plays here and there. So maybe that changes it a little bit, but I'm with you. You continue to read the tea leaves. Doesn't sound like that big move is going to come, at least from our vantage point. Hopefully we're wrong, because I would like to see something, just a shakeup, whether you bring in a guy, find somebody, even if it's a bigger contract. I've long maintained you have a better chance at landing somebody that's a difference maker through a trade than you do in free agency. So if you let that deal expire, you pair that with the other money coming off the books. Now Ariza's deal will be off the books.
Yeah.
All that. What are your chances of signing somebody? I still think they're slim. So I would like to see them be aggressive in that regard. Pair them with a first round pick or a young piece, whatever it takes to go get somebody. It's just tough to find that with $27 million.
The wild thing is I think everybody, whether you like losing on purpose or not, I don't want to, we don't have to get into that. But I think the wild thing is, as negative as it may sound talking about deals and what Portland may or may not do or where they're at, the wild thing to me is that I'm still picking them to be an 8 seed. I think they're somehow going to figure this out, and they're going to have a bit of a streak. They're going to play slightly better.
Get healthy late in the year.
Get healthy, and they'll end up being the 8 seed in the West. And they'll get everybody right back on board again.
It's a lot of it. I know it's almost the Nurk season 2.0, right? If you can make a deal like that, because he came in and saved them. They were headed for a top five pick, and Nurk carried them to the playoffs. What was that? 2-3 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah, they play Golden State tonight. No CJ McCollum. He also got hurt in that Dallas game, as you alluded to in the last segment. Is there an official word on how long he's out for? I know they just are going day by day.
Sprained ankle. He might miss four games or so.
Day by day. He's not playing tonight. Golden State in town.
We should trade for Giannis. That's true.
I would like, I'd be okay with that.
Well, you could have had him.
Yeah, Whiteside in a first rounder gets you Giannis.
That's a deal there.
Where are they at with Giannis and Dame versus taking CJ? They've gotten to West Finals with CJ.
I mean, are you kidding me?
It's kind of curious.
I don't know. February 6th is the trade deadline.
You know, February 6th, okay.
The lineup Portland, and I know a lot of other teams.
They only got seven guys,
Clark?
Who can play.
Could you play the fun game of the lineup you could create of the star players Portland passed over in drafts?
No, I don't want to play that game right now.
That's not a fun game.
That's like a...
Jordan, Bird, and Giannis. There's three right there.
It's like a game you play the day after dies or something. I'm not in the mood for that, man. Not in the mood for that right now.
Here's your lineup. Chris Paul, Michael Jordan at the 2, you play KD at the 3, Giannis at the 4, and
just stop.
Who would be your 5th? Who would be your 5? I don't know. Who would be your 5?
I don't think it matters.
You're right.
I think you could play.
Larry Bird.
Yeah.
So Giannis plays the 5, KD's at the 4, Larry's at the 3, Michael's at the 2, Chris Paul's at the 1.
That's a pretty good lineup, I'd say, yeah. Yep.
That's a tough lineup to beat with anybody.
All right, this is depressing.
Boy, that's a really good lineup.
That's a really good team. That's a really good team, man. Really good team. If you're looking for some minutes tonight, go suit up. What are they? Is 7 active guys? 8?
Well, there's got to be 8 guys in uniform on the bench.
Okay.
So CJ might be in his uniform. I don't know if
they just called up Moses, right?
He'll be the 8th guy then.
Yeah, Moses just got called
up. One of those
up.
Guys may not play. So
you got a slim rotation tonight. Hopefully everybody's feeling in shape. Golden State is in town. Okay, I'm going to talk some college hoops in the final hour.
You think this is one of those games where they just look at Dame and like, can you get 70?
Yeah, just go, Dame.
If I'm him, I'd kick the tires on that.
I just think as the team, I'd just be like, you got 7 guys. It's like, all right, Dame, just go see if you can get 75. Let's just have some fun tonight.
At least we get to see Ant start with Dame.
We do, and we've got to see it on Saturday as well. Also on Saturday, you got the Gary Trent 30-point game.
On his birthday. That was cool.
On his birthday. And it sounded like he was like dead after the game on Friday. He needed like an ambulance to come get him.
He was such super sick.
So he was that sick. And they were like, dude, we have no bodies. You got to play tonight.
I just found I found a bunch of playing cards from Franz Loafs over the years growing up.
Oh, those were the best back in the day.
And I found his dad's card. I have a Gary Trent playing card.
Mm. peak 90s Blazers.
God, his dad was so much bigger than he is.
Shaq of the Mac.
He was a completely different guy.
6'8", 245 tank, man. Yeah.
All right, there you go. Is that enough Blazer talk for the day? Made a trade. We'll keep an eye on the next one. They play Golden State tonight. Boom goes the dynamite. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way. Gain strength at the same time, locally owned and operated with 6 locations to serve you. Coming up in the final hour, how about that Peyton Pritchard, man? He's pretty good at basketball. What do you say? He owns this state.
I saw a big difference between two seniors on Saturday, and it hurt my heart.
I want to talk about that. We got some Civil War action going on this week. We'll get into that briefly. We haven't talked about Rob Lowe yet. Also, DBs are beefing, one current, one former. And we got some lingering thoughts on the NFC and AFC championship games from yesterday. It's going to be a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.